Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Farioli. Farioli. George. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Gerard, he's going to lead us in the pledge today. Today's invocation by Pastor Darrell Arneson, and he's from the Brooks Assembly of God in Brooks, Oregon.
Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you this day, thanking you for your gracious, loving faithfulness and mercy toward us. We're asking for your wisdom, strength, encouragement, guidance, and blessing on these special leaders. You alone know the personal sacrifice and special needs and burdens of those gathered here today. We would ask for healing for broken hearts and needy lives. You understand us, and you promise to meet our needs according to your riches. And you are aware of the desires of our hearts as we seek your help, your ways, your provision. We are a needy people who are depending upon a great God, the ever-present help in the time of need. In an hour of international strife and national, economical, social, and spiritual crisis, we lift our petitions to you. Help us, Father, in this hour of need to use our lives and abilities to honor and serve you as we endeavor to serve the constituents of this great state. May we, in harmony with the inscription on the face of this great edifice, perpetuate a quest for righteousness, to pursue what is right in your eyes. Forgive us for our sins of presumption, our neglect, and iniquity, for we do need and desire your presence and blessing upon our great land. Let your will be done in earth, in Oregon, and in our government as your will is done in heaven. We ask that wisdom would be given to this legislative body assembled here today. From the words of Micah the prophet, show us again what is good and what the Lord requires of us, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We today have a special musical presentation. Jeremy Downey from the Oregon School for the Blind will play two songs on the piano. Thunder Moving Across the Water and America the Beautiful. Thank you. Good job, Jeremy. Great job, big guy. He's also a member of the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs. Wonderfully done by Jeremy Downey. Honorary pages for today, Cheryl Bello, Marissa Cervantes, Jessica Jesse Harris Plants, Jonathan Mendoza Escobedo, Nicholas Taltzig, and Aaron Zakusiski. Those are my honorary pages, and I welcome you to the floor of the Senate. We need our pages every day to help us get through the session, so I very appreciative you'll come here and help us through the day as we do the best we can for the people of the state of Oregon. I am now under courtesies of the Senate. Please recognize Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to extend courtesies to a group of students that are here from my district. They're homeschooled students, mostly from Western Washington County, though I understand there's a couple maybe from Oregon City as well. They're in the upper gallery. I can't see them, but you can, Mr. President. I'd like to welcome them to the Capitol today.
Okay, the students from Western Washington County and Oregon City are up there. They are there. At least they're indicating they're there. So I'd like to welcome each of you to your state capitol. It's an honor and a privilege to have you come here. Stay all day and come back and see us again. Thank you. Extend the courtesy of the Senate to each and every one of you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Mr. President, I would like courtesies extended to Kerry Johnson, a friend of mine who is now the head of the Planning Commission in Clatsop County. Came all the way down from Astoria today to say hello.
Kerry, thanks for coming down. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. And that's tough work being on the Planning Commission. Very tough work. Thank you. Recognize Senator Chris Telfer, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce my one of my interns to you all. His name is Joseph Henrich. He is a Middle Eastern Studies major in his junior year at Portland State University. He works part-time at an engineering firm in Portland doing safety auditing and technical support for the Nabisco Bakery. He is an Eagle Scout from Troop 100 in Northeast Portland, currently an adult leader as well as a snow, sports, and reading merit badge counselor. He is a co-founder and current council member of the Portland State Disc Golf Club. And in his free time, Joseph enjoys playing disc golf, soccer, snowboarding, and camping.
Thank you, Joseph. Welcome to the Senate floor. I'd like to extend a courtesy of the Senate to you. I never got further than a Boy Scout, so I revere Eagle Scouts. I just barely got through the Boy Scouts, so good job. Well done there, too. Recognize Senator Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. And following in the same vein of introducing Vikings, I would like to introduce my intern for the session, Katie Lahorn, who's sitting at my desk. Katie is a junior in political science at Portland State and is, like so many of our wonderful interns, performing her capstone part of her program. She is from Montana originally, but is now a proud resident of Portland. Also, very hardworking person in addition to a full load of classes and coming here every Monday and Wednesday. She also works at Henry's Restaurant in the Pearl District, so check her out there too. She is responsible for many of the wonderful materials that those of you who came to the Women's Health and Wellness event last week saw. The packets that were delivered to your offices were largely Katie's work. So please join me, colleagues, in extending courtesies to Katie.
Thank you, Katie. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being an intern. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. I have a son in college in Montana who likes it so much when he graduates in May, he's not coming back here. So even though we've got you, he's staying in your native state, so it must be a great place. I think it is. So, and by the way, the colors of the great Portland State Vikings, they are forest green and white, just for what it's worth. I just happen to like those colors. Senator Mallory Moniz Anderson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like for you to extend courtesies to Cindy Burdell and her colleagues from the ALS Society. They're over there. on the other side of the floor. They do such wonderful things for ALS, and if you forget what ALS is, it is better known as Lou Gehrig's disease, very debilitating disease, and they are certainly being such great advocates in making lives better for those who have the disease. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Senator, for Cindy and all your friends, and I really thank you for being here. It's an honor and privilege. Thanks for all the work you're doing for ALS. That's tough stuff, so really appreciate it. I extend the courtesy of the Senate to you, and I hope you enjoy your stay here in the state capitol. Thank you very much for coming. Are there further courtesies? Remonstrances? Recognize Senator Bill Morris Sepp, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. On your desk today, you have a sheet that talks about Echo Northwest Oregon's long-term care study. A little bit of history. During the 07 session, we had a long-term care caucus. At the end of 07, we talked about getting together, and the group that were there, which is AARP, SEIU, Oregon Health Care Association, Oregon Association of Agents, Area for Agency, and to do something coming into this session to draw attention to the fact that seniors are the invisible group. They're the ones who vote most, but they are invisible when it comes to the governor's budget. Huge cuts, 16%. The study was commissioned. It was distributed to each and every office in the legislature. Jobs lost, 10,875. Economic activity lost, 587. Almost $600 million lost. Federal funds left in the table, $338 million. Stimulus package, $175 million. Jobs, 3,000. Kind of ironic that we're willing to cut 11,000 jobs at a time when the healthcare industry is growing, and people are coming into the healthcare industry. A lot of the jobs that are going to be lost are people who are going to go on to the program that they get support from the state. So it's an ironic turnaround that's happening in the state of Oregon. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. As we ramp up to our birthday on Saturday, we have another historical minute from the Oregon Historical Society, statehood and wolf meetings. And, Mr. President, I love this one. And if you'll recall, two sessions ago, you talked about this in your opening remarks of this session. As the number of white settlers in the Willamette Valley increased in the 1830s, so did the recognition that some type of government would be formed. For years, the attempt to establish a provisional government was thwarted by intense factionalism, in particular the clashes between the Methodists, led by Jason Lee, the Catholics, led by Francis Blanchette, and of course the British-led Hudson's Bay Company, led by John McLaughlin. The existence of these factions created an environment in which compromise was almost impossible. Of the many meetings that were held to discuss the political future of the region, the Wolf meetings are considered especially important in establishing the provisional government. Wolf meetings were held in March of 1843 to solve the problem of attacks on local livestock, bears, cougars, and through the establishment of a committee to solve the predator problem, the seeds of organized government were hatched in this state. Less than 2 months later, on May 2nd, 1843, Willamette Valley settlers met at Shampooey to vote for the formation of a provisional government. The action that approved the vote was 52-50. I say again, the vote was 52-50. History changes over time, but time does not change history. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Are there further remonstrances? Message from the House.
Mr. President, majority by the Speaker informed me the House has passed House Bill 2305, 2420, and adopted House Joint Memorial 2 and 4.
Okay. Senator Ferriero, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, for an announcement.
Yes, let's...
Mr. President, thank you. The Republicans need about 15 minutes off the floor to caucus.
Okay, just 1 second, please. Richard Devlin, please. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats will immediately caucus also.
Okay, where are you going to caucus, Senator Devlin?
In our caucus room.
All right, so is that you're going to... Okay, so the respective caucuses, please report to their caucus rooms for 15 minutes. We'll stand... Well, recess?
Yeah.
We'll recess till about... here we go, 11:40. See what happens with that. Thank you. Senator Ferriero, would you come forward to... Could I like to speak to you just a second, please? Thank you. We are now standing in recess. And would the clerk please call the roll?
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Farioli. Farioli. George. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. President Courtney.
We're only at 18? If all the Democrats are here, we got to be at 20. Because, thank you. Thank you. A quorum is present. The Senate recessed under, following the order of messages from the House, and will resume under the order under reports from conference committees. It is so ordered. Reports from standing committees. According to the SR 8.551 committee report, number summary number 11 was distributed to members today. This is information recorded in the journal and the stage report, and it is so ordered. Reports from special committees. The clerk will read the report.
Mr. President, your Special Committee on Conduct has met and submits the following report. On February 10, 2008, the Senate Special Committee on Conduct met to address a complaint dated January 30, 2009, regarding Senator Peter Courtney. A legal opinion regarding potential conflict of interest was obtained from Dexter Johnson, Legislative Counsel. Mr. Johnson testified and answered questions during the hearing. Mr. Johnson's opinion stated, in order for there to be a potential conflict of interest, three elements must be satisfied. One, there must be an action or decision by a person acting in the capacity as a public official. Two, the action or decision must have the potential effect of a private pecuniary benefit or detriment. And three, the private pecuniary benefit or detriment must be received by the person's relative, or a business with which the person or person's relative is associated. In regards to the first element, Mr. Johnson stated there was an action or decision by a public official. Senator Courtney voted on two bills, SB 388 and SB 5562. To the second element, the vote on both bills authorized the state to borrow monies and transfer a portion of it to Western Oregon University, a public institution. So the act of voting did not confer a private pecuniary benefit to Western Oregon University. Further, that a private pecuniary benefit would occur when Western Oregon University makes an independent decision to transfer the funds to private entities to carry out the capital construction projects. To the third element, while Senator Courtney receives a pecuniary benefit from Western Oregon University, his salary benefits, these benefits were not altered by the act of his voting on either bill. Committee members concluded that only one of the three elements for there to be a potential conflict of interest was met. All members of the committee were present and voted unanimously that Senator Courtney did not violate Senate Rule 3.33, and he did not have a potential conflict of interest in regards to voting on SB 388 or SB 5562. No further actions are recommended by the committee. Signed, Senator Floyd Prozanski, Chair.
It is so ordered. Propositions and motions. Action and executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction, first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Joint Resolution 21, President to Oregon Constitution related to State Highway Fund. Senate Bill 45, related to Internet Service Providers. Senate Bill 46, related to Open Space Land Special Assessment and Prescribing Effective Date. Senate Bill 47, related to Sexually Explicit Material. Senate Bill 488, related to Attorneys. Senate Bill 49, related to Independent Review of Insurer's Decision to Declare an Emergency. Senate Bill 490, related to Real Estate Licensee Compensation. Senate Bill 491, related to System Development Charges. Senate Bill 492, related to Just Compensation for Condemnation and Property. Senate Bill 493, related to Towers. Senate Bill 494, related to Direct Testing of Public Education Employees. Senate Bill 495, related to Taxation of Interest in Electronic Transmission Lines and Prescribing Effective Date. Senate Bill 496, related to Oregon Growth Account and Declaring an Emergency. Senate Bill 497, related to System Development Charges. Senate Bill 498, related to Retroactivity of Laws Applied by the Department of Revenue and Prescribing Effective Date. Senate Bill 499, related to Tax Credit for Alternative Fuel Vehicle Manufacturing Facilities, Prescribing Effective Date. Senate Bill 500, related to Medical Examiners. Senate Bill 501, related to Financial Education. Senate Bill 502, related to Blue Ribbon, Stillwater Fisheries. Senate Bill 503, related to Small High Schools and Declaring Emergency. Senate Bill 504, related to Small High Schools and Declaring Emergency. Senate Bill 505, related to Farm Use Special Assessment and Prescribing Effective Date. Senate Bill 506, related to Health Insurance. Senate Bill 507, related to Preferred Providers and Prescribing an Emergency. Senate Bill 508, related to Health Insurance and Declaring Emergency. Senate Bill 509, related to Physician Contracts. Senate Bill 510, related to Local Regulation of Manufactured Dwelling Parks and Declaring Emergency. Senate Bill 511, related to the right to Canvas and Facility. Senate Bill 512, related to Disclosure of Information about Students Involved in the Justice System and Declaring Emergency. Senate Bill 513, related to Ecosystems and Declaring Emergency.
Transmitted to the President. Excuse me.
Okay. Senate Bill 514, relating to for-hire carriers. Having a problem here. Senate Bill 515, relating to warranties on motor vehicles and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 516, relating to physicians. Senate Bill 517, relating to pharmacies and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 518, relating to dispute resolution. Senate Bill 519, relating to mandatory workplace communication to employee about employers' opinions.
These are transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures, please.
Senate Joint Resolution 15, declaring President Abraham Lincoln as Honorary Territorial Governor, February 12, 2009. Senate Bill 53, relating to prevailing rates of wages and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 55, relating to ineligibility for public works contracts, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 92, relating to research conducted by Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. Senate Bill 99, relating to conditions of probation. Senate Bill 100, relating to Department of Corrections. Senate Bill 110, relating to death benefits paid and workers' compensation claims. Senate Bill 370, relating to limited judgments.
These have passed the calendar. Third reading of Senate measure. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 46, Wind and Background Checks for Schools, declared emergency.
Recognize Senator Hass.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 46 is the first of several bills coming to our chamber to address sexual offenders in schools and specifically how to keep those people from ever working in a school again. These bills seek to put another protective layer around the more than 500,000 children sitting in classrooms, playing sports, and putting their trust into educators. This legislation is largely a product of work done by the Interim Committee on Education and refined this year by our Senate Committee on Education. I do want to point out and thank Senators Cruz and Walker for their work last year in leading work groups and task forces and bringing people together on this. Because as you will see, there is a very tiny needle we're trying to thread here, one that tries to respect the balance of due process, constitutional rights, professionalism, and common sense. The first bill is Senate Bill 46, and it directs the Oregon school districts to fingerprint new employees to prevent those convicted of crimes from slipping through. Please understand, many districts already do this, but not all of them do it, and not all of those who do it to all employees. It also requires contractors who have direct supervision over kids to be fingerprinted. This means, however, that Joe the plumber will still be able to come and fix the faucets that are leaking in the school and not be required to be fingerprinted. But if Joe the plumber teaches a shop class on how to fix faucets, he will be fingerprinted. Sadly, fingerprinting is becoming more and more common, not just in schools, but in business, nonprofits, and government. If you're wondering whether fingerprinting will be required of volunteers, the answer is no, at least not in this bill, not for now. And this is a policy choice that we wrestled with in committee and one that is being discussed by school boards all over Oregon. For us, I think there was consensus around testimony that suggested that schools should be welcoming toward parents and volunteers and to require these people to be subjected to fingerprints dramatically lessens that feeling. The bill also gives the Department of Education much needed discretion over consistency in evaluating the truthfulness of what new employees list on their applications and criminal information forms. Again, this bill, Senate Bill 46, isn't the only answer, but it's one of several bills that I'm certain will come to this chamber. Another one is on our agenda to come up later today, and the House is working on a key part of this legislation that we will likely see over here as well. Mr. President, I believe that if all of these bills pass, Oregon will have the strongest child protection laws in the nation when it comes to sexual predatory behavior in our schools. Senate Bill 46 passed our committee unanimously, and I ask for your support.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the measure.
To the measure.
I want to thank the chair of the committee for his hard work on this. We did work on the interim. I chaired the work group that came up with this particular measure, and I want the body to know that all parties were present and had input into the content of this. The biggest piece of this is we wanted to have a clear, bright line between, or as far as how schools are going to deal with this and what an employee of a school district was. The consensus was that if they take money from a school for the work they do, they're a school employee. We wanted a higher standard for those folks. The good chair did mention that we have not at this point done anything about volunteers. We intend to continue working on that. That is the one piece left out of this. But clearly, we didn't want to put somebody who's volunteering in a school, have them have to go get fingerprinted and go through that level of rigor. So probably we'll end up with maybe just a LEDS check or something like that. But at this point in time, I think this sets a uniform standard for the state. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Vicki Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm still struggling with my sickness here. I did want to thank all the parties involved in bringing this through the process, and I was pleased pleased to see the end result of all of our hard work. I did want to point out that one of the most important pieces for me was to include these coaches that districts are hiring now to coach these school children on athletic teams. Many districts will hire, they stopped using in-house folks because they couldn't afford it, so they would hire private contractors. And we had no way of knowing if these contractors had ever been screened. So this allows us to ask for the fingerprints of an employee of a contractor. And folks, I'm sorry to say this, but there are a number of cases of coaches who have sexually abused children. So this will be our effort to solve that problem. And as you know, we are trying to protect our children and provide them with the most excellent educational opportunities as possible. And I believe this session we will probably conclude putting lots of parameters around their school safety and making sure that we've solved this problem. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Hastie, you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. President. One quick note. I would be remiss if I didn't try to keep this in perspective. The number of cases that we're trying to get at here is probably fewer than 15 a year. We have 67,000 teachers and classified personnel in our schools, so we're talking about a couple of hundredths of a percent here. 99.99% of these people are never involved in anything like this and quietly do their job educating our children.
Thank you. Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 46. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Is their names called? Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
She's excused.
Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Johnson. 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 46, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 47, related to licensing power of future standards and practice commission, declared emergency.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 47A is another one of the package of bills, along with Senate Bill 46A that we just discussed, that came out of interim meetings of the House Education Committee, the Senate Education Committee, and two associated work groups. And I want to reiterate the expression of gratitude that Senator Haas gave to all the participants in those work groups. Senate Bill 47A does basically three things. It authorizes the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission to take action against student teachers who have committed crimes that would cause the commission to suspend or revoke the license of current teachers. It prohibits issuing an Oregon teaching license to someone who committed an offense in another jurisdiction, and that offense would be grounds for revoking a license in Oregon. And it provides that the commission will revoke a license or registration and will revoke the right of a person to apply for a license or registration if that person has held a license or registration at any time and has been convicted of one of the crimes listed in this statute. These bills were developed to protect children from abuse, and particularly sexual abuse, in schools, and Senate Bill 47A is one piece of that effort. This bill was unanimously supported in committee and has a minimal fiscal impact. Colleagues, I urge your support for Senate Bill 47A.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Recognize Senator Ted Farioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, there really is nothing wrong with this bill, but I'm going to vote no on it, Mr. President, because I have sort of a running heartburn with teacher standards and practices that I've conveyed numerous times to the director and shared with my colleagues over the years. Teacher standards and practices looks at qualifications, and they look at record, and they look at fitness, but they do not look at competency of teachers that are licensed in Oregon to teach in the topic that they're assigned. So what happens year after year is I raise the question about teacher competency to teach in the areas that they're teaching, and the answer is, well, teacher standards and practices has nothing to do with that. And I think until TSPC looks at not just fitness to teach and educational requirements and certifications and attainment, and also looks at competency to teach in the subject area to which the teacher is assigned, we're wasting our time with it. So go ahead and vote yes on this thing. I'll vote no, and I'll keep having the conversation with you, my colleagues, about making teachers' standards and practices about teacher competency as well. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the measure.
To the measure.
Colleagues, let's make sure we're comparing apples with apples here on this bill. One may have issues with TSPC, but this doesn't fall into that framework. This is allowing them, if they have findings against somebody who's going to school, to dismiss them rather than have them go all the way through school and then dismiss them. It also allows them to deal with folks who are applying from other states who have records to be able to deal with them. So this is just another piece of our attempt in our work group this summer to try to make sure that our kids are safe in school. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will support this bill. However, I share Senator Farioli's concern regarding the enforcement of this action by TSPC. In my history here in the Senate and in my evaluation of that agency, they have not performed adequately on most cases, and I don't think they probably will on this case either. I think that it is a sad situation when the enforcement agency is, in my opinion, less than competent to enforce what the legislature wants. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
Very briefly, Mr. President. Thank you. Colleagues, I just want to clarify, thanks to the good advice of my colleague from Lane and Douglas Counties, that the offenses that are listed in the statute not only deal with sex offenses, but also some drug offenses as well. So just to clarify that those are the types of crimes that are listed in the bill that will result in a suspension or inability to be licensed as a teacher. So, colleagues, I do urge your support of this bill. It's about keeping our kids safe in school. Thank you.
Question now rises upon third reading and the final passage of Senate Bill 47. Those opinion bills passed. Say ayes. Names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney. Excused. Johnson. Voting no. Farioli. Nelson. 27 ayes.
The Senate Bill 47 having received the constitutional majority is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 63 relating to child development specialist program declared emergency.
Recognize Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 63 repeals statute permitting school districts with child development specialist programs to seek reimbursement for associated cost. And the background on this is currently child development specialists provide primary prevention services directly or in cooperation with others in settings in addition to school settings. The Department of Education reported to us that it has not received a reimbursement request for established child development specialist programs since the 1991-92 school year. Further, state funds have not been allocated to the department to provide reimbursement for at least 17 years. So what Senate Bill 63 actually does, doesn't change a district's options to establish child development specialty programs. It just removes from statute something that is not used and not funded.
Thank you, Senator. Is there a further discussion? Senator, do you wish to close? Senator Cruz? He does not. The question arises upon the third reading of the final passage. Senate Bill 63. Those opinion bills passed. Say ayes. They'd call those opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Okay.
George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Johnson. Winters. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 63, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, the remaining Senate bills measures will be carried over till tomorrow's calendar, February 12th. First reading of House measures.
House Joint Memorial 2, urging Congress to pass legislation assisting veterans employment. House Joint Memorial 4, urging Congress to pass legislation on transition of National Guard and Reservists civilian life following active service.
Go ahead, just finish and I'll go.
House Bill 2305, relating to shareholder voting. House Bill 2420, relating to workers' compensation claims for cancer by firefighters.
Transfer the President's desk referral. Senator Farrelly, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would like to return to the order of remonstrance, please.
Can we get through and then go, or do you want to do it right now?
We can do it before we adjourn, Mr.
Okay,
President.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator Farrelly. The second reading of House measures, please.
House Bill 2157, relating to connection and federal tax law and prescribing effective date.
This is passed to the calendar. The third reading of the House measures. The other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403 committee referral list number 32 and 33, were distributed to members February 9th. Referral list number 34 was distributed February 10th. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and the state's report and is so ordered. Announcement. Recognize Senator Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, while Oregon hemorrhages jobs and families wonder where they're going to get their next paycheck, we're going to meet tomorrow to put a rush order on a tax increase for employers and families. We've called a special floor session tomorrow for the purpose of passing a bill that disconnects Oregon from the federal tax code. Once you sort through the lawyer speak and all the funny math, the bill has a simple but devastating result. Oregon businesses and, more important, Oregon families will pay at least $96 million more in taxes. $96 million tax increase on this floor tomorrow. That $96 million could go to help paying for food and heat and rent and lights, hiring a new employee, expanding a business, or even to honor the promise of accelerated depreciation that will be denied to Oregon businesses as of our vote tomorrow. We've spent a lot of time in this chamber talking about making this the jobs session, as we should, but the unemployment lines are strutting across Oregon like spider webs. Work is scarce, paychecks are shrinking, families are wondering what the future holds. And our meeting tomorrow for a special floor session is for the express purpose of raising taxes on small businesses. It is nothing short of a job killer. This isn't just a disconnect from the federal tax code. This is a disconnect from Oregonians who are hurting and looking to us for help. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Farrelly. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
The order of announcements.
We're under announcements. Thank you, Senator Atkinson.
The Floyd McMullen Fire Brigade will walk away from Omalas at 2 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats will caucus in 15 minutes.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Business and Transportation will meet at 1:15.
Thank you. Any other announcements? If there are no further announcements without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday, February 12th.